All right, welcome back this evening. Aaron told me I needed to angle this down so that way it can be better. So is this good? Here we go. Welcome back. It's great to be together. I love our Sunday mornings together, our intense time of learning in Sunday school, but then coming in here for the morning service and just having a vertical focus of worshiping our Savior, because He's worthy. He's worthy of all the worship that we can give Him and so much more. And then coming here for our family night tonight and just enjoying an update on ministries and what's happening. And we get to hear from three men later on, and as we continue the preachers in training and training people to study the scriptures and be able to deliver those in a message. And it's just such an encouraging time on these evenings here. We will be doing some singing again, some praises here in just a little bit, hear from those three guys, and then doing our business meeting at the end. And so we look forward to what the Lord has in store for us tonight. Several announcements we want to make sure we draw our attention to as we continue to head into the fall months and head into September here. First of all, the youth group kickoff was this afternoon. That was a great time this afternoon. There as a parent, having a daughter in youth group, and enjoyed that time together. And with youth group this year, so the church body is aware, Douglas and Lacey have decided to step away from the youth group. They're not leaving the church or heading somewhere right now, but they're going to transition ministries and do some things to see as they continue to grow and their ability to minister and see what the Lord has next for them. And so they've stepped aside. The last 5 years, they've given direction to the youth group ministry, and we're super thankful for what they have done. And we're excited that Michael and Caitlin Dow have taken over that role, and they're going to be walking in that role, leading the youth group, shepherding those teens, 7th through 12th graders, and we're excited to see what the Lord has in store for them this year as they walk through those. And so be praying for them, and be praying for Michael and Caitlin and the teens and the parents. And we had a great discussion today as we have parents that are seeking to shepherd their child's heart and to disciple them and to see them grow in the grace and knowledge and truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then us as a church coming alongside and helping them do that. It truly does take a church body, and we're thankful for the church that does care about that. So that happened today. We're looking forward to hearing good reports about that. Wednesday, we want to continue to keep in mind we have the seniors' coffee and tea in the morning. And then Wednesday evening, we wrap up our checking in with missionaries and getting missionary updates with David Strope from the GARBC. He is the interim director right now. They've had some transition going on. And so it'll be good to hear from him from a national perspective. We heard from Chuck Paul just a little bit when he was here at the combined service from a state perspective, and now to hear from a national perspective what's happening in the association and better understand how we can continue to pray for them as they equip churches and help assist churches in doing and fulfilling their missions there. So we're excited about that, hearing from him this Wednesday. The next Wednesday after that, the 21st, we'll be starting a new series in 1 Corinthians. It'll be similar to the series in Ecclesiastes, where we're going to have several people rotating through on teaching that. And we're excited to see what the Lord has for us from 1 Corinthians. If you look at 1 Corinthians, it was a church with lots and lots of issues. But if you were to just look at the issues on the docket without seeing the church name, unfortunately, the American church could probably be subbed in and be mistaken for a lot of those same issues. And so how do we navigate church? How do we think about church? And how do we help to maintain unity and focus in the midst of a crazy times? And so we're going to be looking at that this fall as we walk our way through 1 Corinthians. Starting next Sunday, we're looking forward to community groups starting back up. It's an encouraging time. Those are great opportunities to get plugged into a group and to grow in your ability to be able to fellowship with one another, get to know one another, and talk a little bit of real life. It's hard to do that in the context of being here in this room and in this building. But when we get into the homes and we're able to discuss the morning message in an applicational way, and then also be able to talk about what's going on in life and help minister to one another, gives us an opportunity to be the church instead of us doing church. And so we want to continue to do that. There's four group options. One that meets at our house, and that is at 1 o'clock on Sundays. Typically the way that works is we grab our Toro Loco to go, since we can't go there, and we eat. And so if, I know that's a quick turnaround, so anyone who wants to come to that, just grab your food to go and join us, and we'll eat. And then at 1 o'clock we'll start in on our discussion and so on. If you want to eat at home and come at 1 o'clock, that's fine too, but we enjoy those times there. The Gullies will be hosting one again at 1:30, and they'll be discussing what that looks like. That typically rotates around just a little bit, and so on who hosts that one, but they'll be discussing that. And then the Willises, they will be hosting one at their new house that they are moving into right now, over off of Rosemount. And so I'll get that address out here soon. But they'll be hosting one at 3 o'clock on Sundays. It's open for anyone and everyone's willing to come, but they're going to target some of our young adults. There's several of them who have not been plugged in into certain community groups. So they have a real heart for them, and they're going to go after those that have not been participating that would fall under that young adult category there. And then Ed and Cindy Ruggles will be hosting one at 6 o'clock at their house, and continuing to do that. So there's a good group of people or places to be able to go, a variety of times, a variety of locations. So finding one that fits best for you, and encouraging you and others to participate in those, that will be a great time there. Other thing we're looking forward to is Kids Club kicking back off on September 28th. That's 2 weeks from this coming Wednesday. We're excited about that. And with that, this is another transition. Adam and Haley have been involved with Kids Club for over at least 10 years now, I would say, and then leading that probably 7 or 8. We were talking about that this morning, trying to figure out that number. It all kind of runs together a little bit, and then COVID makes that even worse to try to figure out what happened through those couple of years there. So anyway, we're going to be transitioning. Thank you to them for their leadership of this important ministry. And we're excited about Amy Howe taking over this ministry as the director of Kids Club, and Rex will be assisting her with that. And going to continue the same lessons, but restructuring it just slightly it'll look the same for the most part. There's going to be a few tweaks that they're going to be making there. With that, they would like to do a meeting with anyone willing to volunteer and be a part of Kids Club on the 21st, September 21st. That's a week from this Wednesday at 7 o'clock during the evening service time, meeting in the other part of the building in order to plan and get ready for September 28th when kids will be here for that. So if you're willing to help out and you're wanting to help out with Kids Club this year, make sure you let myself or Amy know, and we'll look forward to seeing who the Lord provides for that and how the Lord uses that to impact the lives of the kids that we have in our church. And we've had several community members coming from the area too the last couple years, and so it's a great outreach ministry as well. Ladies retreat happened this past weekend. I've heard good reports from that. I don't see any of the camp ladies here. I was going to have one of them give an update on that. So we'll have to get an update from them later. I'm sure they're resting. But we've got a couple other events happening out at camp. The Rewind Camp Out, that's for fathers and their children. And then the Season Saints Luncheon on October 13th. Having a concert and a lunch together and just enjoying a time of fellowship during that time. We also have the Cradle Walk coming up. Cradle is an important ministry that we have for us here at Wheelersburg Baptist, and just the work that they do, helping out with ladies in particular, but really men too, and everyone who's in a difficult situation. And so ministering to them, counseling them, sharing the gospel with them. They have one of their fundraisers is a Cradle Walk, and that is happening on October 1st. you can head to their website or look at that a little bit more to see how to register and participate in that to raise awareness and also raise funds for their ministry. And I believe that is all the announcements I have. Anybody have any other announcements that they want to give updates on and ministries that are happening in the life of the church or their own lives as they seek to minister every day?
We are in the middle of the start of today of new members class. If you know anybody that's interested in the church, joining, just finding out about the church, our Sunday school, 9:30, next 3 Sunday mornings, probably that will be taking place.
Thank you for that reminder. It's encouraging to see people interested in wanting to join us. Dave, you want to give an update? I know there was some counseling and discipleship training yesterday and some more coming up just on how that's going so we can be praying for that ministry.
We went to Gallipolis, First Baptist Church. There were several different churches represented there that have an interest in some potential more training or maybe coming here. That's yet to be determined. And then Parkersburg, West Virginia, there are, I think, 73 people signed up from about 5 or 6 different churches that are going to receive the track one training from our team, which includes other people. Pastor and I are only doing about 40% of the training, but Andrew and a couple other people that he knows that are certified are going to be doing the other portion of training. So.
Yeah, praise the Lord for that. Three, you said 3 weekends, right? October and November?
Yeah.
Gotcha. No, that sounds good. It's neat to see how the Lord is using this training, using this to help disciple people, but then get them interested in how they can help people as they interact with others in their own lives. And then also, Lord willing, leading to some certifications that people can continue to formally counsel and be a part of that ministry all up and down this area. So the Southern Ohio, Northern Kentucky, and West Virginia area. So good. Any other updates on ministries? All right. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lots happening, and then we'll turn it over to TJ as he helps lead us in some songs. Gracious Father, we thank you so much for, again, just the church and something we take for granted. We just come and we do church and we're a part of it. It's a part of our normal routine. But, Lord, there's others all over the world that risk their lives to become a member of a church and to attend church. And it truly is a community that's that becomes a necessity in order for survival. And yet you're using them in mighty ways to see the gospel go forth. And help us to remain laser focused on our mission to make disciples locally and worldwide. And we do that by knowing Christ and making Christ known. And Lord, help us to, as a church, to continue to remember that mission, remember what you have called us to. There's so many things happening and potential things that we could be doing and becoming involved in. But Lord, help us to remain focused on the most important things. Help us to make decisions on priorities that we can continue to be a light in the places that you have placed us. And Lord, we thank you for the many activities happening here in the life of the church. I pray that you would be with our leaders, that they would continue to have wisdom and insight as they continue to lead ministries and give direction and make decisions. Lord, I pray that they would find a joy in the work as they're doing it. And Lord, I pray that they would just be able to walk closely with you throughout this time. I thank you for everyone who's involved in a ministry and willing to participate and be on the front lines of ministering to people as we seek to make disciples. And Lord, I pray that you would just allow them to find a joy in serving, help them to just continue to learn and to grow during this time. Lord, we pray that through all the activity and all the things that we wouldn't get caught into just doing, but that we would remember to be the church, that we would love one another, that we would recognize when people are hurting, and we would reach out and walk alongside of them, that we would see the joys of that need to be celebrated, and we would celebrate with people, and that we would just continue to be the community that you have called us to be. Lord, we thank you again for this evening and the opportunity we have to hear from your word. And I pray that you would just be with these three men as they bring us the word and the message that, and the truth that you have laid on their hearts, Lord. And I pray that they would speak clearly. Your spirit would take that word and go to work in our lives. And Lord, I pray that you would just continue to shape us and mold us through the speaking of through the teaching of your word. Lord, we pray for those in our church that are going through difficult times, and those we know going through difficult times. We have several that have loved ones walking through cancer treatments and unknowns that are linked to that, Lord. I pray that you would be with those individuals. If you be your will, we pray that you would heal them, and that they would be able to explain the sovereign God being so good to them throughout this process, and be a beacon of hope in the midst of this. I pray that the ones that are caretaking, for those that are sick and hurting and walking through these cancer treatments that I mentioned and other ailments, Lord, I pray that you would just allow them to find a joy in the caretaking. It's often monotonous and limiting in some ways and thankless, Lord. But Lord, we pray that you would just allow them to find a joy in serving you in the place that you have them as they serve their loved one in this manner, Lord. And I just pray that you would allow us as a church to have eyes to see those who are in that situation and encourage them and come alongside them and help them to carry this burden that they are carrying, Lord. Lord, we pray for Faye and Brian and the rest of the family as they are continuing to mourn and grieve the loss of Richard. And Lord, we're thankful that he's better off than all of us, that he is rejoicing as he sees his Savior face to face. But Lord, I pray that though we have hope in the grieving, they're still grieving. And I pray that you would just wrap your arms of grace around them and allow them to experience your love and tenderness in new ways during this time, Lord. Lord, we thank you again for the many blessings that you have given us. I pray that we wouldn't take those for granted. I pray that we have realized that those are truly gifts from you, and that we would worship you as a result, as an opportunity to you to use those for the advancement of the kingdom. And ask this all in your precious name. Amen.
Good evening. If you'd grab a hymnal and turn to number 428, I Need Thee Every Hour. Let's sing as we prepare our hearts for the word we're going to receive this evening. number 206. God be the glory. Number 66. To God be the glory.
Atonement for sin. right. Thank you for your singing. And now we come to the Word of God tonight. Let's take our Bibles and go to Titus chapter 3. And three of our brothers have been preparing to take us into this treasure. Aaron comes, and then Dave, and then Dave.
Good evening. I'll have to move that up. All right. How are we this evening?
Good.
Good? All right. We are going to be going through a little bit more of Titus. We're almost done. If you remember, if you've been here before for this series, Titus is a letter written by Paul to Titus and the Church of Crete. Because they weren't living the way they should be. They weren't leading a church the way they should be. And it's just a way to kind of say, hey, you know, times are short. I've got to fix a few things, and here's how you need to do it. And it continues here. I've entitled this talk tonight, There Can Be Freedom in Remembering. A lot of you are going to say, well, you don't know what things I can remember, and I'm going to say the exact same thing to you. You don't know the things I can remember. But there can be freedom in remembering. So let's look here at chapter 3, starting in verse 6. Whom he poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So the first thing that there's freedom in remembering is that we're not alone. We are not alone. If you look at verse 6, it says, whom he poured out on us abundantly. Well, who is that whom? If you look right above it, in verse, the end of verse 5, it says the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us abundantly. Well, who is the Holy Spirit? John 14:16 says, and I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper or a counselor, that he may abide with you forever. The word that's translated helper or counselor here means one who is called alongside, somebody to walk through this life with you. There's tremendous freedom in realizing that regardless of what we're facing, regardless if we have our family with us, regardless of whatever it is, that we are not alone. The Holy Spirit also, John 16:13 tells us that the Holy Spirit clarifies the Word of God, makes it clear, makes it easy to understand. That's fantastic, because as we are learning about our Lord and Savior through the book, that's where we get our clarity. But he didn't just give us a little bit. He gave it to us abundantly. What does the word abundantly mean? Well, the definition of abundantly is in large quantities or plentiful. My definition of it is more than you think you should have received. More than you deserve, maybe, or more than you asked for. Has anybody ever eaten at Five Guys Burgers and Fries? There used to be one right down the road from me when I managed a store up there in Huntington. And their French fries come in abundance if you've never had them before. Don't ever go there and order a small fry for one person. You can't finish it because they give you what you think you should have, which is a cup of French fries. Put it in a brown paper bag, and then they dump scoops of fries on top of that cup. That's an abundance of fries. That's the amount of the Holy Spirit that we have to rely on. That's fantastic. So there is freedom in remembering that we are not alone. My favorite verse that has the word abundant in it is John 10:10. The thief comes but to steal, kill, and destroy. I come so that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So we get the Holy Spirit abundantly. There's freedom in that. Number two, there is freedom in remembering that we are justified by his grace. If you look here at verse 7, that having been justified by his grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We are justified. What is justified? Well, the Oxford Dictionary says it's having, done for, or marked by a good or legitimate reason. Theologically, it's declared or made righteous in the sight of God. Made righteous in the sight of God. Wow. Go back up to verse 5, if you will. And it says, find it real quick. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. We are clean. We are made clean. We are regenerated. We are washed. Not by anything that we could have done. There is tremendous freedom in that. And I'm going to prove it to you. Where, each and every one of you think about this, where would you be right now if it wasn't for Jesus? That's a deep question for a lot of us. And maybe you grew up in a Christian household, right? Maybe you're saying, well, my life before Christ wasn't really that different. Imagine if he wasn't there. Imagine all the steps it took to get you here. Imagine all of the provision that he did. Imagine all of the food that he gave you, the roof on your head, the times where, you know, he healed you of whatever you were dealing with. He got you here tonight. That's amazing. There's amazing freedom in knowing that, because my life, my sins, my past is gone. There's freedom in that. We need to remember that. As did the people in Crete. They needed to remember these things. It even says in verse 8, affirm these things consistently. Remember these things. That's important to the world around us, that we look differently because we remember the price that was paid for us and the freedom in which we walk. So there's freedom in remembering that we're not alone. We've got the Holy Spirit. There's freedom in remembering that we are justified by His grace. And thirdly, there's freedom in remembering that we have become heirs to the kingdom of heaven. There's freedom in remembering that this life could end tomorrow and heaven is our home. You know, I think about the queen passing away. You know, the heir to the throne was her son. The instant she dies, he inherits all that was hers, that entire, you know, kingdom, so to speak. When we die, we inherit the promise of eternal life instantly. That's fantastic. Why should we worry about death? Why should we worry about anything that could potentially harm this body when it says right there that we've been made heirs? But there's so much more that comes with being an heir. It's not just heaven. There are, you know, God walks with us every step of the way. There are things, there are just so many benefits to being a child of God. We are a child of God. We are friends of God. We are the children of God. And there is freedom in remembering that every single day. Because I know that if, for some reason, if he's, you know, if my life is to be over, that it's his will. You know, and that there's freedom in knowing that I'm going to live my life until he says it's time. One of my favorite verses, Philippians 1:6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it till the day of Christ Jesus. We need to remember those things. And I'm going to tell you a little story. Billy Graham told the story. He got pulled over in a small town going about 10 miles an hour over the speed limit. The officer says, Mr. Graham, you were speeding, and due to the speed you were going, you're going to have to go before the judge to pay your fine. Here's your ticket. Here's your court date. Have a nice day. Billy Graham goes before the judge, and the judge says, well, Mr. Graham, you were going 10 miles an hour over the speed limit. How do you plead? And Billy says, well, Your Honor, I was really doing that. I'm guilty. I'll pay the fine. The judge says, well, that's a dollar for every mile an hour over, so that's going to be $10, and he about said you can pay the clerk. And he looks up and notices that it's Billy Graham. And he says, you know what? Pulls out his wallet. He says, I know you said you're guilty of this, and you know, but takes a $10 bill out, clips it to the ticket, and hands it to the clerk. I've got this. Now, that was not the end of the story. The judge then took Billy out to lunch to get to know him a little bit better. You're saying to me, well, that's just because he's famous and that's just blah, blah, blah. You're missing the point. Too many Christians today are content with the fact that their ticket got paid. And they forget he wants to take him out to lunch. He's got this life taken care of. He has come so that you can have life and have it more abundantly. You know, and a lot of people today think maybe this world's different. Maybe things are different. Maybe God is different. No, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we have to think about who he is. He's, you know, he's Jehovah Jireh. He's our provider. He gives us everything we need. You know, he's Jehovah Rapha. He's our healer. He takes care of us, whether he does it through supernatural means, whether he does it through a doctor, whether he puts us in the right place at the right time. He takes care of us. He's Jehovah Rohi. He's our shepherd. He guides us through. Why is this important for us to remember? We're living in a world that's looking for change, right? You said it brilliantly this morning. They will know that we are Christians through how we act. The people back here in Crete weren't acting right. They weren't acting right. They weren't living right. They weren't proclaiming Christ right by how they lived. The entire first 11 verses of this chapter is all about faith and works and how important it is. It's important tonight that we remember the freedom in which we live, the freedom in which we walk, so that other people around us can see they've got something different. They really do. And that we can continue to minister the way that He has called us to minister, and we can continue to get people, as we have been, to join us here at Wheelersburg Baptist, because those people know something. Those people live in a freedom that I want. And may that be our testimony. So there's more to the faith and works, but I am done. So Dave, come on.
Lower this down. Thank you, Aaron. Well, I'm the burger and the sandwich. We've got two buns. And the first bun is we need to remember some things, these things. And Dave is going to speak about the things that we don't need to be talking about. And I'm the person right in the middle that talks about this, the things that lead to excellent and profitable service. That's the title. It comes from Titus 3:8. You probably would not want to spend a lot of time with me in my early 20s. I was a zealous professing Christian. That sounds pretty good. I studied the Bible every day and I invested hours learning systematic theology and ethics. What's wrong with that? I listened to hundreds of hours of audio teaching and sermons. The home church I was with was like a family. We saw each other and fellowshiped almost every day. At my job as a chemist, I talked to people all the time about their need for Jesus and for the truth, often to the neglect of my job duties. I love to talk to anyone who would listen to me about the Bible, about spiritual matters, and I was convinced of some things, that we were a part of a unique church that was associated with a very special group of believers. We knew that we had the deeper knowledge of Scripture because we're following God's chosen prophet for the end times. That's me in my 20s. I believed we were a part of a small group of churches that were going to be a part of 144,000 overcomers, that when God came for the rapture, we were the ones that were going to go first. And we were going to come back during the tribulation period to teach the rest of the body of Christ how to repent so they could go in the middle. I say this with sorrow and with humility and with rejoicing all at the same time. I also believed that medical science and hospitals were false gods and demonic, and I certainly denominations were the work of the devil. I didn't vote in secular elections. I didn't celebrate pagan holidays like Christmas and Easter and Thanksgiving. Seldom watched the television, threw one in the dumpster, never read a newspaper. You can imagine that I wasn't really well liked by my family and most others around me, which I viewed all of this as a badge of honor because I was suffering for the Lord. I was being persecuted. What did I fill my mind with? Well, whatever it was, it's what I constantly talked about. And it wasn't leading to excellent and profitable help and good for other people. Here's what the fruit of it was. The fruit of my thoughts and my actions was strife, division, and debate. If the Apostle Paul had come to our house church, I feel certain he would have told all of us to be quiet and shut up, and he would have said, you need to repent of your arrogance and your useless religious talk, and you need to get back to the simplicity and the sufficiency of Christ. What we needed then, and what all of us need now, is to hear and understand and remember and embrace the simple message of the gospel, and then focus on profitable, excellent, loving service of others. Brothers and sisters, this is for us, this is a celebration tonight of a deliverance, and this is something that we need to be keenly aware of as a church. Titus 3:8 says this, the saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people. This verse contains two sentences that are tied together with this phrase, these things. Aaron has talked about these things a minute ago. Paul's instructing Titus here on how to deal with these false teachers by insisting on these things that are excellent and profitable for people. He's contrasting the straightforward, trustworthy apostolic sayings with the religious controversies, arguments, and dissensions about the law generated by false teachers. Dave Huddle's going to talk about those. Such arguments just stir up strife and division in the church, and they certainly bring no value to anyone. That's where I was in my early 20s. Religious, full of knowledge, arrogant, and of little to no profitable use, even to my employer. I was stealing from my employer by talking about Jesus to people. Thank God for his grace. What Titus 3:8 teaches us is that there is a true teaching, a true doctrine that leads to profitable help and good for other people. And there's a false teaching that leads to pride, division, strife, confusion, and destruction. The believers on the island of Crete lived in a culture characterized by laziness and usefulness or uselessness. The Cretan church was plagued by false Jewish teachers stirring up arguments, strifes, division, arguments, debates, uselessness, and they needed to be silenced. Paul was telling Titus, this young leader, that these people needed to be silenced. Paul insisted that Titus silence these teachers and that instead he would start to teach these trustworthy sayings, these apostolic sayings that would edify the believers, lead to godly living, lead to good works, effectively evangelize the island of Crete and the lost, and further the kingdom of God. So let's look a little bit closer here at Titus 3:8 to get a better handle on this. The key to understanding this verse is understanding this phrase, these things. What are these things? First, we see directly from the verse 8 that these things include these apostolic trustworthy sayings. Second, we see from Titus 2:1 that they include practical instructions, things that accord with sound doctrine. We've studied that. In Titus 2:15, we see that Paul tells Titus to declare these things directly after he taught about the grace of God and the effect on believers. And we get this final clue from what our brother Aaron just shared of what these things are, from the qualifications, first of all, in the elder, that comes first, the elder qualifications in 1:9, where Paul taught the overseer must hold firm to the trustworthy word. There's that phrase again, that he may be able to give instruction and sound doctrine and also rebuke those who contradict it. So we look at verse 3:8, and if you're doing good Bible study, what you see there is this question: what is the specific trustworthy saying that Paul is referring to here? And there's some debate among commentators on what the particular reference is to. But I think what our brother just shared is what that is referring to. It's the verses that just immediately precede that. They're really, if we look through that quickly, what we see are they're just the tenets of the gospel. So what are the tenets of the gospel? Well, verse 3, we are estranged, lost sinners inside and out. Our good Savior and kind Savior came to us and appeared in verse 4 as Jesus Christ. He came to us. The third tenet out of verse 5 is that He came to earth to save sinners from their sinful state, not based on their own effort or desire, but through a sovereign supernatural regeneration by the Holy Spirit. The fourth tenet we see there is that this is a free and rich rescue from our sins, and that He came to change us through the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ alone, verse 6. And in verse 7, we see that we're now counted righteous by His gracious salvation work applied to our lives, and we're anticipating our eternal hope as He comes back and we see Him in our glorified state. So what I want you to see from all that is this. What do we need to not be just a bunch of irritating religious people? Self-centered, arrogant, proud religious people. That's what I was in my early 20s. I'm not saying I wasn't saved or didn't know the Lord. I had a basic faith, simple childlike faith under all that crust. But this outward expression, it was so mixed with motives and pride and judgment. It's 1 Corinthians 13, clanging cymbals and gongs. Here's my question for you all. What do you currently listen to and talk about? It might be politics for you. We certainly live in a politically enraged environment. Do your thoughts and your philosophies and your words, what do they minister to the hearers? Do they minister grace? They lead to excellent, profitable help for those people? Are you filled with knowledge, spirituality, politics, and opinions that lead to strife that are no practical use? As those who profess the Lord, we need to be the ones that are the most hardworking, diligent, useful workers in our workplaces. In our families, we ought to be the one that loves the difficult one in your clan. You know who they are. I don't have to give you the name. You know who they are. The one that everybody else in the family can't stand. We ought to be the ones who refuse the gossip and the attack of those members. We are the ones who need to be available to serve all of our family members when they have needs. Among our neighbors and community friends, we ought to be the ones that stand for what's decent and right for sure. But we also have this sweetness and this reasonable demeanor, and we're approachable and people who truly care for people, not just in our words, but in what we do. What I needed when I was 21 years old was to return to a simple, straightforward, trustworthy teaching of the gospel that led me to serving and loving other people. And I praise the Lord that 30 years ago or so, He brought me and Connie here and used the teaching and the counsel and the practical example of brothers and sisters here to rescue and heal us from a difficult religious past. Let's be reminded and encouraged to always stand firm for the simple, straightforward, clear teaching of the gospel. And then to get up off our religious couches and go to work for the glory of God, to help people, and to be a blessing to others. That's what we're called for, brothers and sisters. Thank you.
Tell you what, we could go home now and we'd really be blessed. It's a good job, guys. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this Bible and for these verses and for your Spirit that leads us and has brought all of us from things that Dave talked about to where we are now, as Aaron talked about. And Father, I ask you to guide what I say, take your word, and do what you always do, and bring glory to yourself. Amen. Let's read verses 9 through 11. But avoid foolish disputes, generalities, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. Reject a diverse man after the first and second admission, knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. The question I have for this evening is, why was dealing with dissension and heretics so vital and serious then and now? Up to this point, Paul has instructed Titus on what to teach the Christians, how to establish the church, produce good works, promote the gospel, and bring glory to the Father. In verses 9 through 11, he changes direction and tells Titus what to avoid and how to deal with these issues. I'm going to read verse 9 again. But avoid foolish disputes, generalities, contentions, and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and useless. What Paul is referring to with the words foolish disputes is anything that is idle and foolish and does not tend to bring glory to God or the edification of the believers. Some may have a show of wisdom, but are vain and are to be shunned. The word genealogies, some useful inquiries might be made into these things to see the fulfilling of the scriptures, especially in the descent of Christ the Messiah. Otherwise, this serves to feed vanity in boasting of a long pedigree. Since Christ had come, the distinction of families and tribes had been taken away. Therefore, to indulge in these things brings no glory to God and no good to men. The contentions and strivings about the law. There were those who wanted the Mosaic rites and ceremonies to continue, especially the Judaizers. In doing so, they challenged the gospel and endangered new believers. Again, these things do not glorify the Father and does not edify the flock. You think of Paul having been on both sides of this issue. He knew the Mosaic law inside and out, but by God's grace, he learned the blessing of saving faith and wrote most of the New Testament for our good and God's glory. It was vital that Titus taught Paul. It is vital that Titus taught as Paul instructed him. I'm going to quote what J. Vernon McGee wrote in his book, Through the Bible Radio. Quote, "We are to defend the faith, Paul says, but we are not to do it by argument or debate. That does no good and never leads anyone to the Lord. You may whip a man down intellectually by your arguments, but that does not touch his heart and win him for Christ. Stay away from foolish questions and genealogies and contentions. That is the reason I do not develop certain subjects that are sensational. For example, during this period in which I am writing, demonism seems to be the topic of the hour. I have any number of letters saying, 'Dr. McGee, give a series on demonism. Write a book about it.' Let's not get involved in that sort of thing. I would rather tell you about the Holy Spirit who can indwell you. If he is in you, no demon can ever possess you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:4. That is what we need. It is so easy to get sidetracked, unquote. Let's read verse 10. Reject a diverse man after the first and second admonition. Okay? The description of diversive is as follows. Creating disunity or dissension. Some Bibles read heretic. The description of heretic is as follows. One who dissents from an accepted belief or doctrine, a nonconformist, one who has turned aside from the truth. This is an individual, or it could be a group of people, that openly forsake the truth as it is in Christ Jesus, tries to bring about false doctrine. They break the peace of the church and weakens the faith of the flock. Two warnings are to be given following the basic pattern for which church discipline set forth by Christ. Paul also wrote about this in Romans 16, verses 17 and 18, and in 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 14 and 15. We have seen this practice in this church. You pray for the individual involved, but you are also thankful for God's peace ruling this church. With the gospel, it is God's way or no way. There's no in between. And let's read verse 11. Knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. Self-condemned by his own ungodly behavior, a factitious believer brings judgment on himself. Throughout this study, one thing has been very clear: the seriousness of protecting the gospel and preserving the flock. So what are some of the issues in our Christian walk today that can apply to these verses? And think about this. How many churches have you know about or heard about that split and went different directions? How many of us have thought as a child, because our parents knew the Lord, we thought we would automatically be saved? How many of us have realized that when we sat under true Bible preaching, we were challenged and had to submit to God's word and know how we were taught to believe was wrong? Much like the Jews in the Mosaic Law, like the Christians and Jews of Titus, we need to ask ourselves some serious questions. First of all, whether we are saved or not does not rest on what we believe, what our parents believed, or what a favorite pastor believed. What counts is what we think of Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, his resurrection, and whether we believe that the Bible is the true Word of God. When we are challenged in our beliefs, go to the Word, ask the Holy Spirit to teach you God's way. This practice will eliminate the issues covered in this study. God does not need our good works, but we really need his grace. Addressing these evils in these verses preserves our eternal lifeline, the gospel of Jesus Christ, our true and only hope. Yes, following Paul's instruction today is important. Still, as it was then, it glorifies the Father and edifies the flock. Thank God for his truth and the Holy Spirit who teaches us.
Thank you so much, men, for your diligence and for taking us into the, not just into the truths of the word, but through your lives. I appreciated that. Your illustrations, your lives came through, and the word of God is attractive, and the implications of the word lived out are attractive, as you've helped us to think about from Titus, and we really appreciate that so much. Let's bow before the Lord as we finish. Father, we treasure your word, and we've tasted it tonight, and it is good. It's just whether it's obvious that there are some passages that are so enjoyable. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. But here we are in a portion of your word that is challenging us. It's talking about what to do when there's division. It's talking about things to be careful of. And the hearing of your word tonight edifies us. It takes us back to the glorious gospel and then shows the beautiful fruit of that gospel and why it needs to be defended. And we come away thankful tonight. We thank you for your grace in this church and how you've been caring for it. And I thank you for this dear church family and the evidence of your grace in it. It's a joy to be around brothers and sisters that are seeking to live out, as we saw tonight, good works that give evidence of the grace you've shown us through the gospel. So thank you. Thank you for my brothers. We ask your blessing on them for their time in preparing and ministering to us tonight, and your blessing upon us that we would be doers and not just hearers. In Jesus' name, amen.